Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Barlingham Barrett, a weekly look at current affairs, crime, and just about everything else under the sun. My name is Simon Barrett, and unfortunately, missing this week is my good friend Manny Barling. Get well soon, Manny. We'll miss you. Plus, I need your support to keep our panel in check. We do, however, have our usual panel of experts. The always colourful John Perry, owner of Sunset Protection. Good afternoon, John.
Simon.
And from the wilds of darkest Ohio, author, activist, and bar owner Sam Murphy. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Simon, and hello, John.
Hey, Sam.
Okay, I do have a humorous little story for you. One of the companies that I occasionally work with it sent me a DVD to review. It was all about a little-known breed of horse called the Gypsy Vanner. It beautifully photographed or videographed, whatever you call it. And I put up a review, and I made mention of it on Facebook. Our mutual friend, Jack Young, just left a comment, and
what
it read, "I hate the bleeping things."
Why did he say why?
Well, he hates horses. I mean, they've broken just about every bone in his body.
That is true. You never know it though. From what is he? 86?
87.
And yep. He looks great, he sounds great, his mind's a sharp attack.
Yeah. To put this into some perspective, Jack Young was a Hollywood stuntman in the 50s and 60s, and his shtick was westerns. He's fallen off every horse you can imagine. And being trampled, and he just out and out hates horses.
I think his claim to fame was the double somersault falling off backwards, right?
Right.
He would get shot and do a double somersault. No, that's what his famous stunt was. Some guys get shot and they fall to the left, fall to the right, fall over. He did the double somersault and fell over backwards. So you can imagine
right.
How many times, no wonder he got every broken bone.
Well, yeah, and almost inevitably, he managed to miss the soft sand. but anyway, I just thought you might get a chuckle out of that. And last, but by no means least, we have well-known LA-based attorney Peter Haven, the man that we just call the voice of reason. Hello, Peter.
I always get a kick when I hear that. That's very often not true, but it's very nice to be here, and a happy Sunday afternoon to everyone. It's good to catch up on everything again.
My original plan was to put on a relatively lighthearted program celebrating the fact that it could well be our last program. You know, with the world ending on December 21st. However, that changed. There is a much more serious subject that I think warrants discussions. Friday's atrocity in Newtown, Connecticut, leaves me absolutely cold. I have strong feelings about guns and gun control, and I'm sure all of you know my position. Well, I did some research earlier today on homicide rates involving guns worldwide. I won't bore you with a long list. The UK has very, very restrictive gun laws. And the data shows approximately one death per 500,000 people per year. Oh, and that includes suicides. In Canada, our neighbors to the north, have fairly restrictive gun laws, but not nearly as strict as the UK. They come in at 25 deaths per 500,000. Again, that number includes suicides. If you strip the suicides out and look solely at homicides, the number is 4 people per 500,000. That doesn't sound very many. The U.S. data, though, is far different. We have 45 deaths per 500,000 people, and homicide is 15 per 500,000. So I have to ask the question, what's wrong with this picture? I've heard the old and tired argument that you don't need to have a gun to kill someone. You could use a knife. You could use a hammer. You can use anything. But I seriously doubt that the body count in Newtown would be 28 people if Adam Lanza had only had a knife. John, I'll start with you.
All right.
What are your views on this gun control issue and this ongoing spree of senseless and absolutely senseless murders?
Well, Simon, probably similar to everyone else, I'm grieving for the people impacted in the massacre. My heart and prayers are with them and their families, and their world did end a few days ago. And now the families have to pick up the pieces, and it's going to be a long road for them. I hope they're not forgotten, because I don't even know how these kids can even go to school now without being in tremendous fear, probably for the rest of their lives. I don't know, but as far as the gun control, I'm glad you brought up the knives, because you know better than me, but it's my understanding in Britain something like 75% of people have been burglarized many multiple times, and the crooks are able to wield those knives like the chef on the Ginsu commercials. So it's just a different fear factor, I think. But I don't think guns are the problem. I think it's morality, ethics, and values that are no longer taught in schools, and among other things, breakdown of the family and just society in general. Obviously, if he didn't have a gun, obviously the casualty rates wouldn't have been as high, but I don't know that that would solve the problem with the mental health issue and safety in schools. But we'll have to find out and see what happened. It's all conjecture why he did it, but I'm sure it'll all come out.
The question of why he did it, in my mind, is pretty irrelevant. The fact that he did it is the only salient point.
Right.
Sam, what are your thoughts on what happened on Friday and the hot, the gun control issue?
First of all, I want to say hello to Peter. I didn't know you were there until Simon said you were. So good to hear you on the show, and look forward to what you have to say. Like John, and I think the scary thing is, I'm just when I heard about it, I became numb. It's almost like a once a month occurrence somewhere in the world that there's some sort of rampage killing going on, and I'm getting numb to it. And as usual, I got to turn it off when I started seeing media interviewing little kids. I thought that was outrageous. I think there's all this BS that comes out, you know, in the beginning. I think you have to let the investigation run its course before you can draw any conclusions whatsoever in regards to this particular killing. There's still all sorts of strange things coming on and not being verified and whatnot, and to the point that the lieutenant of the Connecticut police was on threatening people if they posted stuff on Facebook and Twitter, they'd be arrested. I mean, it's out of hand in regards to that. As far as gun control goes, I'm a firm believer in the right to bear arms. I have many problems with that, and I understand why. Do I think people need to have the amount of weapon that this woman had that she was killed with and her son used to kill other people with? No, there's way too many weapons there. In regards to that, she was described as a gun enthusiast and whatnot, and she owned all these guns legally. And how many guns is enough, I think, has to be the answer. But my question, I think there's something here that we're missing. And I was doing some research over the weekend. You know, in the last 30 years, just in America alone, there's been 62 mass shootings. Okay, that's considered four more people killed, excluding the shooter. In the last 62 of them. And around the world, there's been hundreds. Simon, you talked about England. There was one there in 2011. There were 17 people killed by something, a killer. There was the one that just happened in Norway a year ago or so. In 1987, a guy by the name of Robert Ryan from England killed 18 people, injured 15. It's not just the United States thing, and I'm tired of hearing that. If you go on Wikipedia and hit rampage killings, you will be amazed at what we haven't heard about and the others that were killed around the world. So it's just not the United States thing. And some people have killed with cars, killed 17 people with a vehicle in a place where they couldn't get a gun. So I do agree that with a lot of people, when they say, if there's not a gun, and these people, they flip their lid or whatever phraseology you want to use, they'll find other ways to kill. We are a violent country. We have been ever since the first shooting happened in the year 1630 in Plymouth Colony by John Billington. He was the first person ever convicted and executed of shooting someone with a handgun. And that happened in 1630. And, you know, if you bring in the Indian massacres and how we've done, this is a violent country. We always have been, and we always will be, even if you get away, I hate to say it, even if you get away from eliminating guns, which you can't do, because bad people will still find a way to get a weapon in any way, shape, or form, a gun on the black market, because there's money involved. And that's something that has to be looked at. But overall, I just think what has to be looked at is the overall violence of our culture, as John was pointing out. That's what has to be addressed, and the fact that under Ronald Reagan, mental health, mental institutions and whatnot were cut way back. I don't even know if there are any low-level public mental institutions anymore in this country. I think they're just those for the super wealthy or those who can afford it, if they are any. I don't even know. It seems nowadays people are diagnosed to be sick, they're given a pill, and they live amongst us, and they're walking time bombs. And I think the mental health issue has to be totally looked at along side by side with any talk about gun control.
And Peter, I have to ask your opening comments about the events.
I love John and Sam very much, and there are a lot of people in my life I talk to about these issues, and I love them too, but this is just so wrong. It's very clear what the problem is. It's crystal clear. There are too many guns floating around, and it's patently obvious that people who have no business having access to guns access them. It's just, it's crystal clear. That's all these events prove. And the statistical data that you threw out there early in the broadcast, Simon, I don't have any reason to doubt that data. And that data suggests that the rate of homicide by gun in the United States is, if I understood correctly, 45 times greater than that in England and about double that in Canada. And I have no reason to think that that data is in any way inaccurate. Earlier, I found an article that suggested that since 2007, when we had all kinds of economic crises and what have you, the number of these types of mass killings in the United States has dramatically escalated. And everything that, that Sam and John say about morality and mental illness and all of that is 100% true. People are troubled. They're very, very troubled. But the solution isn't trying to figure out ways to make them less mentally ill. That's a unbelievable long-term fix that you know we've been struggling with for centuries, and we're still working on it. The solution is trying to make these people have less access to deadly weapons. And the notion that a knife is as deadly as a gun is just inaccurate. I mean, if that was true, soldiers would go into battle with just swords.
Wait a minute, Pete, I hate to correct you. There was an incident that happened right on Thursday in China where a guy took a knife and killed and stabbed 22 people in a school in China.
If you really believe that knives are just as deadly as guns, then why worry about giving up guns? Just get yourself a knife. What's the problem?
If someone would have access to a gun at that school, maybe concealed in carry, or there was a security guard with a gun, they would have shot that guy.
You can run from a knife and a sword. You can't run from a bullet. And that's why guns are so popular. They make it easy for people to kill. They're designed to kill. They're engineered to kill. That's their sole purpose. They make it easy for the common man to kill.
They're also designed to protect. Most people have guns. If that was the case, what you're saying, everybody who had guns would be out shooting and killing people. And that's not the case.
You're blurring the issues. The premise here is that clearly people who should not have access to guns do. Look at that guy in Colorado. He ordered automatic weapons on the internet, dressed up like Bane, the evil villain in Batman, walked into a movie theater and just shot people to heck with semi-automatic weapons.
I disagree with you. I think it's disgusting that a 20-year-old can buy a gun and ammo, but can't get it's almost impossible for that 20-year-old to buy a beer. I agree with you on that aspect.
Well, look, rest assured, Sam, and John, I know what the problem is. There's just too many guns floating around and too many people who have no business having access to these things for all the reasons you guys both cited. They're sick. They're mentally ill. There's no doubt in my mind that the guy who did this in Connecticut is mentally disturbed and mentally ill. There's just no doubt in my mind. I don't care what the motive is. Police investigation, that's a joke. What's there to investigate? I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that these guys are mentally ill. And I don't need a psych report. I just need to look at the circumstances. I know both these guys are mentally ill. To anybody, these kids were 6 and 7 years old. They were 6 and 7 years old. The kind of mental state it takes to shoot bullets into 6 and 7 year old kids in a playground is not normal. They're off the hook. And yet they still have access to firearms. One guy buys them over the internet in mass quantities. Another guy apparently gets him from a mom who may have been, from what I understand, a gun enthusiast, a gun practitioner. But for somehow, some reason, she was in a position to know that her son was mentally disturbed, and yet he had access to her firearms. Now, rest assured that no matter what I say and no matter what I think, as accurate as I believe it is, I can't see anything being done about it. And that's the really sad part, because whenever you talk about a solution, what you hear are all the things that we've heard today. And, you know, I had a conversation with a very close friend of mine who's a huge gun enthusiast. And, you know, ironically, he and I are very close, and we couldn't have more polar opposite views on life. And his solution is we need more guns. We need to have everyone carry a gun. We need to have everyone carrying guns as concealed weapons so that somebody could have shot this guy at the playground. And, you know, I guess that's the sad part. That's the perception of what the solution is. We don't need less guns. We need more. Everybody should pack a gun. Everybody should be walking around with guns. Everybody should have firearms. Then it's just like the old West. Then we're all just walking around with guns, and that's supposedly a safer place. I don't think so. I just personally do not think that makes the world a safer place. I think that makes it inherently more dangerous.
John, but, I have to ask you that question. Do you think the solution is more guns, not less guns? You know, we train our teachers to pack heat.
Why train them? They don't train anybody now. Just give them guns. These people are walking around without training. They don't have mental assessments. They don't have training. They just buy the guns.
You okay, Peter?
No, I'm not okay. I read an article about 6 and 7 year old kids getting blown to bits.
You're armed right now, are you?
No, I'm not. But you know, it's not a. It's, you know, I don't see it as a joking matter.
Well, I don't share your assumptions or your passion. I think you have to be dispassionate about problems if you're going to solve them. But obviously the normal human reaction is emotional, and I'm not criticizing you, Peter. I'm just saying if you're going to look for a solution, you got to be reasonable and rational about it.
You know, I've been reasonable and rational for the last 10 years. I was relatively dispassionate when I read about this nonsense in Colorado. I don't think you can be dispassionate when you hear about these kids getting blown to bits. I mean, that's just it's gotten ludicrous. We've become too desensitized. What Sam said was true. We've grown numb. Hey, you know what happens there? It's not going to happen here. I'm not going to walk into a movie theater and get greeted with automatic fire. That's not going to happen to me.
But I think it's more important to actually look for a solution instead of enacting.
Well, I know what the solution is. I know what the solution is. We've got to find a way to control this. But the sad part is there's never going to be a solution because there's always going to be a response on the other side. No, that's not the issue. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. People could do it with knives instead. We got the Second Amendment. You can't be passionate. You got to remove your emotions from this. We need to think about it. We need to talk about it. We need to go to research and analysis. Let's get back to this in a year. Let's do it 2 years later. It's the same thing. And you're right. That's going to work because it's not going to change.
Actually, a legal question. I know that you studied the Constitution.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I pulled it out this week and I wanted to read it again.
Right. Now, as I understand it, this whole Second Amendment thing.
Let's read it. Let's read the Second Amendment. It's a single sentence, and here's what it says. It says, Second Amendment to the United States Constitution, dated September 25th, 1789, over 200 years ago. Amendment number 2, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, all anybody ever reads anymore is the last part of that single sentence. That's the Second Amendment in its entirety. And all anybody reads it, or the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And that's all anybody hears anymore. I gave a great deal of thought to this introductory phrase, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people shall not be infringed to bear arms. Now, in my opinion, in 1789, we had 13 colonies. They were dispersed. They were not very populated. You know, I'm not sure what firearms were like that day. My understanding of it, it was basically musket-loading rifles and similar handheld devices. And back in the day, when we declared our independence from England, we had this coalition of 13 states. And England during the pre-independence days basically told us we couldn't bear arms because England didn't want us to be able to form a militia to stand up to them and declare our own independence. And when these people got together and said, we're going to form the United States of America, and we're going to create 13 states, and we're going to give power to the federal government over us, but we're not going to give up our power to maintain some measure of our own independence at a certain level. And the way these states formed armies back in 1789 was very simple. They said, call in the people, call in the fathers, call in the sons, tell them to bring their guns, tell them to come. We need a militia. We need to deal with this or that. That's how you formed a militia back in 1789 if you were the state of Virginia or the Commonwealth of Virginia or the state of Maryland, the Commonwealth of Maryland. And in my opinion, that's what that phrase was intended to mean. It was intended to mean that people in states, in order to help the state maintain a military, they had to have the right to bear arms. And the federal government couldn't come in and say, oh, no, no, you guys can't bear arms because we have to have the power. You can't have military power in your states. We have to have the sole military power. And these people, fresh from England, they weren't going to do that. Now, that's what it meant back then, over 200 years ago. But nobody cares what the Second Amendment says now. Nobody cares what it was written in. Nobody cares what it intended. They just read the last part, and that's it. They hang their hat on it, and they don't give a dang about the historical context. And generally speaking, I'm not a big proponent of the historical context of the Constitution either. I could care less what the historical context was. But in this one sense, I think it's relevant. It's relevant, but it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to listen to it. Nobody's going to hear it, and nobody's going to agree with it.
Peter, you know, I don't know how many programs you've been on, but that was one of your finest rants.
Well, it was just a rant, and I apologize. It's just very troubling. It's just very troubling to me.
Well,
I can't explain it any other way.
I'm in total agreement with you. The Second Amendment has been twisted, turned eight ways to Sunday, and you are completely right. People only read that last bit. They don't take it in the context of what it meant. It involved the state, not Joe Blow going down to the local gun store.
Here's the big thing. How is this helping state militias now? It's not. If anything, it destabilizes the state's ability to maintain.
I'm missing the point. You're missing the point.
Okay.
The whole thing it's all about people having the right to bear arms to fight a tyrannical government if it ever should come up. Read the writings of Franklin, Washington, Jefferson, Adams, and all those guys. You're right. Each colony had to raise an army. No question about it. I agree with you to that point. But after that, what that has evolved into, that army came from, as you said, the fathers, the sons, people who were farmers. They weren't military people. They were called in to fight against, the best army in the world at that time, the English, along with the Hessians and the other mercenaries that they had, train-killing armies. And these people rose up to fight them. And that was put in there. Because, in my opinion, from what I've read and I've been reading, is yes, our state, then the federal government had an army. Then the states all had national guards. But they still had to keep that in there because, God forbid, if a tyrannical political party or group or organization would have rose up, people still have had the right to fight back at that. And that's what it's there for. Now,
That's not what it says, though. I agree that you raise a very valid point. I think that's what people want to believe. I think people want to believe that they're right.
That's what I believe, and that's what I've been brought
up
to
believe. That belief is a very fair belief, but that has nothing to do with the Second Amendment, because that's not what the Second Amendment says. It doesn't say you have the right to bear arms to rise up against a tyrannical government. It says the people have the right to bear arms so that the states can have a military presence. That's what it says.
I'm not talking about – that's what the amendment said. But also read why those people put that in there. Now, granted, they might have left out all those items. brothers I'm talking about, they feared, obviously, they feared war on a tyrannical government, had fought it. They feared, a tyrannical government taking control. And the only
people may have feared that, but when the framers put together the Constitution, they weren't trying to help that fear. They weren't trying to address that fear. They weren't trying to empower people with that fear. They were trying to create a government.
They said
we're going to have a federal government. We're going to have a federal government, and we're going to have state governments, and the states have the ability to maintain a military just like the feds do. But we're not promoting anarchy.
No, they were not promoting anarchy, but they were saying anarchy may be necessary. Read Jefferson, the roots of liberty, paid the patriot's blood. Every 20 years, it should be a revolution.
Fair enough. Every 20 years, there should be a revolution, but that's not what the Constitution says.
I understand, but the Constitution also says, we don't have to quarter troops. So when your state government or your federal government comes in here and shoves troops in your house, wouldn't you like to have a gun to shoot them to keep them out of your house? that's in the Constitution, too, an amendment, isn't it?
Okay. All right. Before you two come to blows, I'd like to get John in on the conversation, because John is a big fan of history. John, what's your view of the the Second Amendment?
Surprisingly, I completely disagree with Peter. As I've said many times to many, if I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong. Sam, I definitely echo your points about the last bastion against tyranny, because the framers were very suspicious of big government. Also, I would say, Peter, analyze more of the fact about citizen militia. And basically they're saying you have an obligation and a duty to protect yourself and your community, because police can't be there 24 hours a day.
Well, you know what? I'm trying to protect myself. I feel more threatened now by the fact that I walk around in the world and there's a sea of guns. I'm trying to protect myself. I'm trying to protect myself by making the arguments I'm making now.
But citizen militia, it wasn't part of the government. It was each individual citizen.
Remember, Peter, there was no police departments back then, and all that stuff. Too.
Good point. Now we have police departments. Now we have state national guards. Now the military of each state is well established and well maintained. So what's the problem?
If that's the case, if we have all this law enforcement, my God, we do. See, the DEA, all the U.S. Marshals, everyone who carries guns, we're still an unsafe nation, as Simon's numbers have shown, right? We're still an unsafe nation. We're still a violent nation with all the people around. I'm glad I can have a gun, okay? Because we're still not safe with all this, with all the firepower that this country has, military, police, FBI, CIA, DEA, ATF, right? We're still not a safe country.
You guys are right. You guys are absolutely right. We need more guns. Everybody needs to pack.
I didn't say
everyone's
we need
got
more guns.
No. You're right. Everybody should be packing a gun. Everyone should. It'd be awesome.
They
be
have
great.
The right to, and they have the right not to.
Well, pretty soon, if everyone's packing and you're not, you got to start packing too.
Hey, Peter,
you don't have to start packing. You have the right not to, but you also have the right to protect yourself.
It ain't right if a guy's pulling guns on you.
Peter, if four bad guys break into your house, do you want a gun or do you not want a gun? Do you want them to
I'm not worried about four bad guys breaking into my house. I'm worried about going to a Whole Foods store and being shot to bits with semi-automatic fire.
Well,
that's more pressing concern for me now. I'm not worried about guys breaking into my house. I'm just not worried about it.
In my hometown last night, they just had four guys break into a house, and luckily the guy had a gun to shoot. It was a shootout. It was a home invasion. First time it's ever happened in this area.
Okay, folks. I'm going to call a quick break here. I believe we have a caller on the line. I just hope they're not a gun toting disaster. Caller from area code 718. What's your question for us?
I don't have a question. I just say this. How you doing, guys?
Hey, hello? Very well. How are you?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I just wanted to touch on what y'all guys are saying. Look, you got it's really a shaky situation. I think that a lot has to do with education. A lot has to do with mental, the way they're taking care of the people that have medical issues that have not been identified. You know, all these things that is going on also has to do with what's being promoted. Our country right now is almost like, promoting always, if you watch the TV, everything has to do with guns. It's like our country is built with gun culture. Now, listen, you have a right to bear arms, and I think you should have the right to bear arms because, at the end of the day, you have your rights. But it's, what needs to be done is that they need to have track things. It's just not just giving a gun to anybody, and it's bad enough that all these guns are out there as it is. So why the question is also has to do at the discretion of the manufacturers. Why do we need to keep manufacturing more guns when there's so many weapons out there already? Okay, that's number one. But you have a right to protect yourself. But, who is that person that owns the gun? A lot of times you have people that snap, and sometimes, or for the most part, it's unpredictable. But there has to be a lack of education, and it's deeper than just having a gun. Our country right now, needs to focus on education. And, with all the things that's been taken away with, budget cuts, this, that, the other, the lack of education, that's why it's happening in the inner city. You thought it was just going to happen in the black neighborhoods, in the Latino neighborhoods. This has exploded to the point that now you got things happening in the suburbs, and we always see it on the news saying, this never happens here. Well, guess what? This is your new America where you got, good kids that come out of good schools, and we're given everything, and all of a sudden, snap, this has to do with education. And also, what are we promoting to our youth? I mean, if you turn on the TV, everything is about violence and sex. Sex, drugs, and violence. The what they used to give on TV in the 80s and the 90s is not the same format as what they're giving now. So you have a lot of information out there, but what information is being put out there? It's like, okay, we have the internet, but if you don't know the information on what you need to be looking at, is how you use the internet to your advantage and to get information. How is it being promoted? And the thing is that this is going to benefit our country and as a whole. So, everybody, always looks for benefit. What is the benefit? Well, you're going to have less of these things going on. You're not going to eliminate everything because, like I said, you have a lot of mental, issues here in this country and or throughout the world where they're not, actually emphasizing and focusing on the lack of education and health.
You make a lot of really great points.
I would love to get the panel to tackle the questions and observations you've made. Who right. wants to start?
Yeah,
I'd be happy to. First of all, caller, I want to thank you very much. You've touched upon all the same issues that we're all talking about. And despite whatever disagreements we may express, I think all of us are really we're of the same point of view. And generally speaking, you've mentioned a lot of issues, and you're quite right. All of these issues need to be addressed. I don't even know where to begin with all of them, but just keeping it focused on the issue of guns. On the one hand, everyone seems to agree that everyone has the right to keep and bear arms. And Sam and John, I do agree that people have the right to keep and bear arms. I'm sorry if that's not clear, but it is. I do agree that people should have the right to bear arms. I also agree with what our caller said, which is that, we have a society now where just basically anybody can get a gun. and they can't. And it's not just any gun; they can get any kind of gun. They can get semi-automatic weapons, and that's a. It's obviously, in my opinion, that's a problem. I think something needs to be done to try to control in some way the type of firearms and who gets them. Now, one of the things that the caller said was right now gun manufacturers, they can just make any kind of massive weaponry and they can pretty much sell it to anyone they want. I'm overstating it slightly, but not by much. Again, that incident in Colorado, that guy bought stuff over the internet and he was clearly a fruitcake. Now, I don't know how you do it. In the civil litigation arena, we have a concept called strict liability, and that's true in every state in the United States. And that is, if you are engaged in an ultra-hazardous activity, you're responsible for everything that happens in connection with an ultra-hazardous activity. Now, typically, we see this as what we call the entire retail chain. You know, you see litigation against the entire retail chain. If a defective car is made, it's like a Ford Pinto, and it explodes on impact, everybody in the retail chain gets sued. The manufacturer, the retailer, and there's also a doctrine with respect to cars known as negligent entrustment, which means that if you're the owner of a car and you entrust your vehicle to someone else and they engage in some type of negligence or abuse, that you, the owner, are somewhat responsible for that as well. So everybody gets sued. So this potential still exists in the firearm industry, but it's almost impossible to employ because of the financial issues involved. I believe that gun manufacturers, if they had to deal with the consequences of this kind of incident, that they are best equipped financially with resources to find ways to make their products safer or to promote regulations that govern who gets them or not. Retailers are in a better position to do this than just about anyone else. They're at the point of access where people are coming into contact with firearms. But this is how it's dealt with in one aspect of the law, with something like a car or a vehicle or a product, which in and of itself is much less ultra-hazardous activity than a gun. A gun, by definition, is ultra-hazardous activity. But this stuff can't happen in the real world because nobody has the resources to bring these kinds of lawsuits, and they would be met with a mountain of opposition from gun manufacturers, gun lobbyists, gun retailers, and it would just go nowhere. It won't change until there's some type of legislation that empowers these kinds of lawsuits that I'm talking about. And that's just one example of how you can try to balance things out. But some balancing needs to be done, clearly, because if you leave it unchecked, it's just going to end up like what we've talked about here. Everyone's going to be having a gun, and the world's going to be a very far more unsafe place than it even is today, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch up also, you know, again, with the mental, when I say the mental, you know, education and health, and, you know, look at all these all our veterans that's coming back, right, that are mentally damaged or maybe haven't been diagnosed, and then they go on these rampages. You know, it's bad enough we have those things. You know, we're not even taking care of what we need to take care of, you know, on law enforcement. You know, our law enforcement people, you know, if we have them going crazy and then we have the, you know, mass mayhem in the streets, is like, you know, so it goes down, like I said, you know, because everybody thinks, oh, you know, in the ghetto this, ghetto that, you know, it has spiraled outside. So it's education. Parents need to educate their children, you know, and we're from the ghetto all the way up to the suburbs, to the rich people, on how to deal with their anger. You know, that's another thing is that, you know, when you have, you know, everybody gets angry and they react sometimes crazy and stuff like that. But, you know, also teaching a human how to deal with the anger from a child, you know, and that's very important because, you know, it prevents a lot of, you know, casualties from happening. I mean, like I said, it's not going to solve all the problems and, you know, it's not going to be a perfect world. But guess what? It'll be less of these things going on because if there's nothing done about it, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse.
Okay, you know? you make a very good point. I'm going to change the focus very slightly. It should be clear to all of our listeners that Sam and John are good card-carrying members of the NRA.
I am not. I am not.
Right.
I like that, Sam.
Right. And Peter and I have a slightly different different take.
Can I, Carlo, you bring up some great points, and thank you for calling in. You know, some of the things I want to say is, Peter, I believe people have the right to bear arms, obviously, not to have a tactical nuclear weapon, a bazooka, assault weapons, and all that stuff. There has to be some sort of limit on guns. I do agree that I am for a lot of gun control, but I also want people who those who want to buy guns legally to have them. The caller brings up a great point about education and other issues. I think education is always an important point. I think, you know, we've had major cuts ever since Reagan did this as the governor of California and as president of the United States, gutted and basically got rid of mental institutions. And you've got people now who, as you said, Peter, can easily get a gun, whether legally, illegally, or whatnot. The fact is they can get the gun and then do things with it because they're not mentally stable. That has to be revisited. Also, in Israel, when my wife's from Israel, every school, wherever there's kids, there's an armed guard. And I have no problem with my tax dollars to going to pay for metal detectors and an armed guard in every school. I have no problem with that. You want to deter people from going into that? If they know there's an armed security guard or an armed police officer or marshal in that school, just like on the El Air flights when they have armed Israeli soldiers on them and there was never any hijacking, we need to protect our kids. And if my tax dollars can go to anything, I'd prefer that they go to schools to help those schools so these tragedies don't happen. You know, and that's what we need. And that's what
I'm gonna
tell
you.
And
can I say something also? I was gonna say, you know, a big problem is look at, you know, if you have, you know, these like a CNN or check, you know, not endorsing, but any of these channels that show the world news. And you know what I see that's really a problem is that you see these third world countries that are people are starving, they don't have a house, you know, they live in huts. But they got AK-47s, right? So you got all these people, like, even in Syria fighting, buildings are being blown up, they're starving for food, but they got a lot of weapons. How are we benefiting from all these weapons if all they're going to do, I mean, you can't eat, so what are you going to do? You have a weapon, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, the gun is a very, very big problem worldwide, and it's not getting any better. It's definitely not getting any better.
John, I have to bring you in. I know that you and I differ in opinions, particularly on gun control, but could you at least see the possibility of taking assault rifles out of the mix?
Well, I said that last week. I would probably be for that, but I'd be willing to listen to the alternate viewpoint and hear the argument for not doing so. I don't really see any point to having those types of weapons, but I'd like to make a couple quick comments and ask the caller a question. Very, very good points. I think as far as what he was saying about desensitization of kids watching these video games and movies, it's all violence all the time. I think that could be addressed. Certainly not with government regulation, but maybe
they should
some
be
kind of awareness on their part
though.
Of what they're doing.
Right.
Also, I'd like to say it's important to actually try to solve the problem instead of just make each other feel good. I'd like to say about education, my concern would be who draws up the curriculum, which I don't agree with currently. And also, to the caller, the cities and areas with the most restrictive gun laws have the highest crime and murder rates. So how do you address that when there's already draconian laws in place in like Chicago and 50 people are being murdered every month? So
what,
kind of solution is that?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Look, I've traveled throughout the country and you know, mostly in not every major city, but I've been out to Chicago, Miami, L.A., the Bay Area, and I'm based currently in New York. I've been out to, you know, down south, Charlotte, Boston, you know, different places. What I see, I mean, over and over and over again, I see a strong presence of police in certain areas, Now, in certain high crime areas, yeah, there are police, but then in certain high crime areas, there's not. So where the shootings are taking place, you know, I mean, the cops cannot be everywhere, but the law enforcement is not enforcing the law, or they show up after the gun, the gunshots or somebody's killed, you know, or wounded. You see, that's a problem. Where are the police? If they're out in the streets patrolling, right, where are they? Now, they can't be everywhere, of course, but where the high crime areas, where usually where all the things is taking place usually, I'm talking about in the inner city now. In the inner city, usually it happens in the same neighborhoods. They have, they are aware of what's going on with the gang activity. You know, and at the end of the day is that, you know, the tracing of the weapons, of course, you know, you are the person that commits the crime, is not the gun, but, you know, how are these guns getting into the inner cities? You know, so, okay, you have that problem, but then, you know, you have, like I said, the strong police and law enforcement presence is in certain parts of the inner city sometimes. But for the most part of what I see, like in New York City, you have, you know, five counties within the New York City. And where I see the strong police presence is in the downtown area of Manhattan. But guess what? There's still things happen. You know, there was a man that was killed out in broad daylight the other day. You know, he was executed. I mean, I'm pretty sure y'all heard of that, about that. Now, I mean, things do happen, of course. But what I'm saying is that, you know, where are the police presence in some of these areas where it is known? If you look at, I mean, you can look at documentaries online, and for instance, in L.A., with the gang activity there. I mean, these guys holding, you know, assault weapons, all these type of, you know, guns that are, you know, military-type weapons, but yet they're still controlling these streets. And if you speak to some of these kids out there, they say, the cops don't come in here. So how are you supposed to take over and do certain things if you're not even enforcing the law? So I'm not, again, you know, we have a great, you know, in every city you have great law enforcement that do what they do, but then you have a lot that are just not, you know, they either lazy or they don't want to take on the challenge. You know, some of them might be feeling like it's threatening, you know. I mean, but this is what the job you take, you know. So, but then again, I'm not going to put all the blame or even blame the law enforcement. It's a collective effort, you know. It has to do with the guns that keep coming in. I mean, all these guns. I mean, everybody, you know, they say they have so many guns that you can arm every person in America. That's ridiculous. You know?
Okay. Do hold on the phone. Peter, you and I are in basic agreement. You know, the genie's out of the bottle. You can't stick it back in, even though it would likely be better if we could. Why can't we at least take the assault rifles out of the mix? And in the same vein, how about limiting high-capacity magazines?
Yeah, I agree. These are really good points that you and the caller have raised, and the term the caller used is I think a very applicable one. He called them military-style weapons. And I do agree. I don't see why private citizens need to own military-style weapons. And I think those should be very strictly regulated. Now, I'm not an expert on guns, and I don't know how you draw the dividing line, but I know that I don't consider a six-shooter revolver to be a military weapon, and I do consider some big rifle with a banana clip that fires off, you know, 80 rounds or whatever. I consider that to be a military weapon. Now, there may be some tough dividing line somewhere in between there. Again, I'm not an expert in firearms, but I think a distinction needs to be made between military-style weapons and non-military-style weapons. And I think that access to military-style weapons should be very, very strictly regulated, period. And if they find you in possession of military-style weapons, I think there should be consequences to that, such as confiscation, etc. Now, is that going to happen? I doubt it, because, you know, there are everybody's just going to rise up in arms and claim that, oh, my God, it's a huge violation of their constitutional rights to lose their semi-automatic or their automatic AK-47 that fires off 100 rounds, and, you know, I can't live with that. That's a constitutional travesty. So there you go. That's just going to be a political quagmire.
I guess what irks me is that whenever one of these horrible tragedy occurs, you know, there's this huge, cry for gun control, and the gun lobby inevitably says, now is not the time to talk about gun control.
It's never going to be the time.
Grieving. Right. And
it's never going to be the time.
Right. And after a couple of weeks, yeah, the news moves on to the world's next disaster. And once again, gun control is forgotten. So
yep.
When is the right time
never.
To...
Never going to happen.
Well, you got to understand that the NRA and a lot of people that are gun manufacturers are the same people that, you know, endorse and, you know, contribute and donate money to some of these people that are controlling, you know, the laws and you know.
And it's not just
Capitol
that.
Hill.
And caller, I'm sorry, what's your first name?
I'm Jay.
Jay. You know, it's not that is a huge part of the problem, but it's not limited to that. The fact of the matter is that, but you're right. You're right. They control heavy members of Congress.
It has to do with commerce. At the end of the day, if you really do the math, why do they don't want to change the system? Why do they don't want to manufacture if they're going to make any weapons or have everybody recall their weapons where they have to have maybe GPS tracking or whatever, you know, type of enhancement that they can do to limit the lawful way of using it. You understand? So what I'm saying is that at the end of the day, it really has to do with commerce. And you know, if you didn't have all these gun manufacturers that had so much money to be able to donate, I'm pretty sure that it would be more of an interest for the people if those things wasn't happening. But being that you have a lot of pressure or, you know, influence when you have that mighty dollar, you know, and you donating and, hey, we endorsing you, you know, we want to put the, you know, they trying to put a law on us. We don't, you know, they want to eliminate, automatic weapons. You know, please help us, you know, that make sure that they don't, you know, do that. And what happens? The ones in positions are the ones that, you know, that's why our country, too, to a certain extent, is in the situation it is because these corporations have been, you know, putting money under the table and over the table and you know, and doing, they've not haven't been doing the people's work and doing the work for the people. They have been doing
well,
you make
a very good point. You talk about the people. And then I keep coming back to the people. And you make a very good point. And I think the real problem here is people, the citizens want their firearms. So the NRA's power ultimately comes, and gun manufacturers' power ultimately comes from the fact that so many people, it's their God-given right to have a gun and multiple guns and many guns and all kinds of guns. And that, to me, is just the real intractable problem. and I don't see that changing anytime in the near future.
Sam, you're a huge I won't say huge, but you are obviously in the gun lobby.
I'm not in the gun lobby. I believe, again, I want to state this firmly, I believe in the right for people to have guns. Not, I mean, two maybe at max. I don't think they need assault weapons. I don't think you need a anti-tank shoulder launcher in your home. I don't think you need any of that stuff. I mean, it should be, that's where I think common ground has to be found. What kind of weapons you can have and how many you can have. And that's where I think the common ground has to be found. I was amazed at this woman who lived in, it looked like the ultimate suburban neighborhood, and the home, the one who was also killed, had seven automatic weapons and what have you. I don't understand why people need that type of weapon. I do not have one like that. I do have a gun in my house to protect myself and my family. I think Carla brings up a great point. We're talking about third world nations where they're starving to death and they don't have bathroom facilities, but they have AK-47s in the army.
That's
a great point. And you know what it's about? And if Manny Balling, the esteemed co-host, was here, but he's not, I wish him well, by the way, he would say it's about money. And that's what it's about. They're going to buy. If someone else is going to buy it, someone's going to make it. That's the way the world operates on the dollar bill. And
I'm
going to
tell you another thing.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, no, I just, that's it, and that's what the money is. And like, if they make guns illegal,
I was going to say another thing, in regards to our culture, is that I don't think that anything going to change. You might be right, but what needs to change is the culture. Like I said, when I said we need to hold accountable these companies and anybody that's promoting, anything, there should be a time for, for the adults to watch their violent and movies and programs. But I think that during the daytime, for the kids, look, I had the opportunity to be in Japan, and I mean, for a few days, I looked through the TV, and obviously I can't hear what they're saying. But I noticed that over there, they didn't have really anything violent on TV. And their culture over there, I mean, basically, there's very, very little gun crimes done over there. And I mean, where people are murdered with guns. And that's just an example. I mean, we take and we give, because every part of the country got their good and bad, as we do as well. But we got to kind of also, be open-minded. And like I said, for these companies, I know it, the interest is about money, but they also have children. This can happen in your backyard. Look at what happened. I mean, in the suburbs, nobody would have thought that. It was funny. I seen Geraldo Rivera talking about, he had several people on there as guests talking about they should have a cop at each, armed, person in each school. I mean, that has to do with money, But are you going to put metal detectors in every school? That's going to be something financial. It's all about money. So it's really up to them what they're going to do about it. But at the end of the day, that's not going to happen. So we need to, again, educate, and also start treating these people that are diagnosed and undiagnosed. We need to start evaluating people and giving them more attention. Because when we tend to push things aside, things happen, and then we're like, these things, and this is for when I heard this tragedy that happened in Connecticut, I was disgusted. I mean, I am disgusted, and like I said, it's going from the ghetto to the suburbs. This is affecting everybody. And I mean, NRA, gun manufacturers really need to take a look at themselves. And it's about dollars or it's about morality. Are we gonna be an extinct, beings, a species because of guns? Because we're gonna destroy ourselves. Not only, think about that.
Well, another great topic, our extinction.
It might not be by pollution. It might be the pollution of weapons.
There we go.
Think about that.
That's right.
think about that.
John, you worked for many years in law enforcement. You were boots on the ground.
Right.
I know that you carried a gun. Did you ever have occasion to pull it out and shoot someone?
I don't really like to talk about my experiences, Simon. But I did want to say to the caller, I do take great umbrage with his characterization that police officers were afraid to go in certain areas. I can say the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, when I worked, went into every area with zeal and pride.
Can you repeat that again? You said area where?
I said when I was on the L.A. County Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
We went into every area we patrolled with zeal and pride.
Okay.
There wasn't anywhere we were afraid to go or reticent to take action, I can tell you that.
No, listen, I'm not disqualifying or discrediting any officer. I'm not saying yourself or saying all. I'm just saying that what's been said in the street and what's been seen. I mean, if you can, like I said, you can do your research if you've been in law enforcement and even YouTube it. I mean, some of these gangs in some of these areas, not currently, right now to this day, are controlling their block and neighborhood to the point where police are scared to go in there. I mean, I'm not saying that they might not go in there. They might go in there with a unit. I'm saying, like, you know, a riot unit and come in with, you know, armored vehicles. But what I'm saying, the average patrolman over there in certain areas do not go there, and these gangs are controlling because their weapon, they're carrying weapons that, I mean, they have AK-47. It's on YouTube. You can look it up, Bloods and Crips in L.A. Look them up, and you're going to see a lot of, and it's scary. It's scary to see that. And I'm going to tell you another thing. You know what? This is a perfect, I just want to say this. When they tell you, when you living in a city, right, and they tell you, oh, don't go in certain areas, right, what does that tell you right there? I mean, okay, you're going to be cautious because now you know that area is bad. But what did that tell you? That tells you that there's a problem there. And that's a problem in our city where you cannot really walk in any part of the city. And you got to tell tourists, oh, don't walk in that neighborhood. Don't drive north. What does that tell you about our country? That's my question. Huh?
Well, the answer, in my opinion, is we got a lot of problems.
Okay.
You're right about that.
I want to bring up a slightly different subject. I don't know if any of you are aware that there is now something called a 3D printer. It's cute. Way outside of my Christmas budget. But effectively, it's just like your inkjet, except it blows plastic. And
right,
you can make
and stuff.
Right, you can make all sorts of really neat things with it. There is a current project known as Wiki Weapon, where they're endeavoring to make a 3D printed gun completely out of plastic. Now, to date, the most successful has managed to fire off 6 shots before it, blew up, hopefully not killing anyone. But, you know, here's another gun issue. You know, in 10 years, you know, 3D printers might be $100, and anyone can make a plastic gun. Peter, this must just horrify you.
I seem to recall hearing things about plastic guns, you know, years ago, and that the technology exists years ago to make plastic guns, and people were using them to supposedly get on airplanes and things like that. And, you know, what can I say, you know? One crisis at a time. You know, this is just now that I'm hearing about, you know, a 3D printer and what it's capable of. You know, it just worries me that we're getting into continuing to become a more and more dangerous and unstable culture. And I think we've got to try and stop it from tipping over.
I believe it was 1988. There was a law passed banning plastic guns, you know, because of the...
That sounds right.
Listen, go to the prison system. The prison system, they make weapons, I mean, guns, all right? They actually have made guns where they get themselves some bullets, and it's not a... I mean, they manufacture
zip guns.
Okay, Gad, can you, Gad, speak? This is my friend, Crazy. Gad, Crazy, let him know,
yeah.
Speak.
His
let
name is Crazy, and he... Go ahead.
Explain to them, Crazy, what that is. Maybe
let me tell you, I'm explaining to you guys what this is. Let me explain to you guys, 1920s, okay? My father's around. They started making zip guns, okay? That's what we're talking about, zip guns. With plastic, sharp objects, just shooting at people. Paper clips, anything on there, or rocks. That's what we're talking about, zip guns, and those are dangerous just as well, too.
They take
your eyes
out. And they put bullets. They use it where when you can get your hand on a bullet, you can actually shoot somebody with it.
That's right. You better be careful with that just as well, too. But it's very dangerous. People are doing that. There's no way you can stop it. Okay? So that's the thing, you know, and the people that are using them, they're very dangerous. So we all know this. It's a bad thing. They get rid of these weapons. I hate them.
Are they one shot?
Yeah, of course they are.
But to even think that, I mean, the thing is that it all goes back to a bullet being used. I mean,
I'm gonna get the line,
Hector.
I'll call you back.
You know, yeah. Okay, so at the end of the day, it's really I go always back to education, because if you have the mindset in a different, you know, mind frame. You actually have less of that and have more people thinking on a positive note. Of course, like I said, you're never going to eliminate the actual bad. There's always positive and negative, but we want to overcome the negative with the positive and actually, you know, have more of positivity. And the thing is, education is everything. You know, what we are, what these corporations have been promoting, the violence, our culture, is caught up on that. If we was educated right, had, you know, more, and it's not only one thing. It takes a different, you know, also has to do with lack of work, you know, because guns are used when they rob people. You know, you got people committing a lot of crimes, and most of it is not with a knife, you know?
Sam, you're the bar owner. Has anyone tried to rob you?
No, we have. I have great security. It's a sad day when my bar has better security than public schools in America. Okay, we have bouncers and we warn people. Remember, months ago, I told you gentlemen that the idiots that run the state of Ohio passed a law that allowed guns in the bars. That was fought by a lot of us, but we didn't have the money that the big, as the caller pointed out, the big gun manufacturers or the chain restaurants, which were the ones that promoted guns in bars, were able to lobby the politicians and have the government sign the bill. But no, luckily I've not, because I have security. And, you know, there's always five employees there and whatnot to do that. And like I said, we want people. Sad, but that's what we have to do. We will continue to do that to try to protect my customers, my patrons, because something like that happens to me, a shooting, a stabbing, or whatnot, I'm out of business. And people just run away because that's what we are. They'll blame it on everything. They'll blame it on the bar. They won't blame it on the perpetrator. And it's, as far as the the situation goes, you know, it's really violent, very violent. I don't know if all of you are familiar with the movie The Gangs of New York, okay? That wasn't based on fiction. It was based on fact. It was written by a sociologist in the early 20s, and he went all the way back to the Revolutionary times, right before the Revolutionary War, to study crime in Manhattan, in New York City. And that's what came out of it in the Civil War time, right before the Civil War, during the Civil War, and right after, is what's called the Five Points. That's when all the gangs, so that's when they were the most powerful. But he found, you know, incidents way back, you know, in the 1700s about, you know, how violent New York City was. And how the Warsaw, the waterfronts at San Francisco, Boston, New Orleans. I mean, come on, we are a violent, we are a violent, violent society. You guys are all correct when you talk about television and movies. Look, I can't believe a 13-year-old boy or girl can't watch a couple making love. But boy, they can watch people getting their heads blown off and every different, you know, body counts that go up to the millions. That's PG-13. But if you see a couple making love or whatnot, that's bad for them. That's bad for society. I mean, there's something wrong with that. Why is a couple making love a terrible thing for younger people to see, but death, destruction, and mayhem, hey, that's okay. I think that's the problem, you know. I'd like to see Hollywood in the movies and television address that. But they won't, because if everyone remembers Charlton Heston, and I know Simon, because I'm bringing him up, not because he's the head of the NRA, but he used to be a shareholder when the first rap song came out, called A Cop Killer by Ice-T. He spoke up at a Time Warner shareholders meeting about that. If we started getting behind these lyrics and started putting out music like this, glorifying it, along with what Hollywood was turning into and has turned into for the most part, along with television, that, you know, our culture's kind of, you know, it's going to have a domino effect, and we've all said that in one way or another today, that our culture is a sewer pit right now, and it's glorifying violence, it's glorifying guns, it's glorifying mayhem and whatnot. But the real root cause of everything is, you know, if you legalize drugs and it's controlled, that's going to take that'll be less violence in the country. A lot of the violence is over guns. I mean, over drugs, so bad drug deals, or bad this, or bad that. Legalized drugs, that'll help get guns off the street. Legalized prostitution, and do things of that nature. And that's where a lot of the killing takes place.
Okay. Sam, that was an interesting comment. John.
They did it in Reno. You see, that's another thing. Our country is so contradictive at times. You know, I love it, you know, because this is the best country. But it can also be the worst country sometimes, you know, because the contradiction. Why is prostitution, you know, legal in one city in the country, yet we're the United States of America, but then you got busted for this and that? I mean, it doesn't make sense sometimes. I don't understand. And we need to get things in order.
John, I would really like your thoughts on what Sam said.
As usual, I pretty much agree with Sam, other than his promotion of the porn industry. remember, they have to wear condoms according to Manny, so everything's kosher.
Oh yeah, so much for morality. I would say, Simon, there's a reason this coward chose an elementary school to wreak havoc, because he knew they were easy targets. And Sam's right. We need security at schools.
Thank you, John.
Of course.
Oh, God! We're getting back to the everyone needs to carry a gun argument.
No, we're not saying that. We're saying use our tax dollars wisely and put an armed guard or police officer or someone in these schools. Protect these kids. They're our future.
They're protected than students in school.
Wait a minute. Let me bring something up. Inner city schools are not seeing these mass murders, are they? These are white suburban schools, whether it's in Columbine, Newton, or Virginia Tech or whatnot.
These are not inner-city schools. You know why? Because the inner-city schools, the metal detectors, and a policeman or security guard, they cannot bring those guns in. Or some idiot fruitcake can't get in there, or they're going to get shot. So they go to the most, the least vulnerable. What is a grammar school?
Well, Sam, let me ask you. Sam, let me ask you a question. I disagree with the portrayal of this guy as a coward. I think he's mentally ill. I think he's just messed up in the head.
Ill, but he's a coward to do that.
I agree with the premise. I agree with the general premise that if there's some sort of deterrent there, even mentally ill people will be deterred. Okay.
Now, why did he go after 6-year-olds if he's not a coward?
In my opinion, look, you can call anybody a coward you want. It's a very easy label to throw around. You can label anybody you want a coward. To me, it's more complicated than that. To me, this person's mentally ill. But this label doesn't matter. It's not the issue. He's no more cowardly than the guy who walked in with semi-automatics and shot people in a movie theater. They're just as defenseless.
I got you.
It's just the same kind of person. They're sick people. I mean, I'm not defending what they do. I'm just telling you they're sick. There's no doubt they're sick. That's not the issue. Is not whether you call them sick or cowards or mentally ill. Sam, let me ask you a question. You pay for your security service. You pay for it. You have it. It's there. And from what I hear you saying, it serves as some type of a deterrent. It obviously seems to be working. And you're in an industry that involves alcohol. And in my opinion, when you add alcohol to whatever other problem you've got, whatever other issue you've got, you up the ante considerably. Yeah, it creates an additional volatile mix. I think so. And you know, I'm no stranger to drinking, and I know what it does to everyone's behavior. And I have enough personal experience with that as anybody. Now, do you feel that it's necessary to have an armed guard at your facility, or do you feel that the presence that you have now is adequate enough? Do you ever feel like maybe there are a bunch of people in your establishment who actually have guns and have brought them in?
No. My situation is we wand you at the door because it's my right under the law that was passed some bars and establishments in Ohio allow guns in the bar. We do not. I wand you before you come in the bar.
Okay, but you issue a warning. You issue a warning, okay, but you don't, other than issuing the warning, you have no ability to gauge whether or not people are complying with it unless you actually see it in their possession, they drink too much, somebody shows something, blah, 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 right?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, but no, when they come to our front door, they're wanded of any weapon. We don't have motorcycle helmets, we don't have backpacks in. If a woman brings a person, they have to open it.
I'm just asking how you check for compliance other than the warning. Do you pat these guys down? Do you send them through a metal detector?
No, we have the metal wand. You know, it's a portable.
Okay. So you have a metal wand. And that's actually a great deterrent. That's actually a great deterrent because nobody's going to be able to get in there. So that's probably very reasonable protection. Now, we talk about putting guards at schools. Well, you know, why stop at schools? Why not shopping malls? Why not grocery stores?
They are shopping malls, aren't they? Most shopping malls.
You have security walking around. Sometimes these people do or do not carry a gun. And as John will tell you, there's a major difference between a security guard and a law enforcement personnel, and there's also a big difference between a security personnel and someone like a military person,
but that's what our society is moving to because of how violent it is. There are going to be, we already have cameras up everywhere, and there will be more and more cameras going up. We all know that,
I'm not saying I'm opposed to any of this. John, how do you feel about it? How do you like the idea of seeing armed soldiers at facilities all over the United States?
I think we're moving into that direction because of how, this has been, I'll beat this drum to breaks. We are a violent society getting more and more violent. And unless you can wipe off all the guns, all the drugs, all the this and that off the face of the earth, change the way our society is and behavior, that's what's going to happen. You're not. We seem to be moving
right,
in the opposite
right. You know
direction.
What? Let me touch on that. Another thing is, again, I keep going back to education. I want to keep flooding it, but it actually is like it trickles down. It's like a family tree. It has different vines and different things connect to this problem. You got to look at what is the problem. It's really, all right, the gun has many different problems in the sense of why people are using it. Like I said, right now we have a crisis in our country where, you know, there's unemployment. You got a lot of people that are becoming desperate, and what are they doing? They got a gun. They're going to go rob somebody, okay? So that's a problem. Then you got the problem with mental health issues where people have, you know, mental health issues and they don't know how to react to certain things or they freak out and then they go and do that. Then you got the normal person that has access to a weapon and he might just flip out. And now he's not mentally ill, but at that one moment something happens, but he has access to a gun. And what happens? You hear it all the
start
time.
Shooting.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Like I said, I'm not going to put it in just one thing. It actually has to do with a lot of different things. It has to do with economics, education, you know, and also it really is those two factors is a big problem. You know, you're not going to stop everything like they said. You know, okay, if you want to put a cop in every school, that's going to take money. Who's going to pay
right.
for that? You know, the government don't want to pay for it. No, the government always makes the people pay.
Government has the money.
Really,
that's a misconception. Government has the money. They don't spend it correctly.
Yeah,
there's enough money to
so
do
there
it.
You go.
They don't
that's
spend
what I'm
it
saying.
Correctly.
They don't want to. That's the problem. You see, it always falls down to who's going to pay for it. You know, and somebody got to, you know, be held accountable. Okay, you know what? I don't disagree. If they had the money and able to do it, I would say, yeah, why safety over everything? You know what I'm saying? But who's going to pay for it? And they don't want to take the fault. Like, you know, oh, well, you know, who's going to pay? Oh, we got the money. But no, we got money for this. And then another thing is putting money into education, educating these kids in the inner city, educating the kids that are, you know, and then also with the corporations. Well, like I said, if you're watching TV all day and all night and everything has to do with violence and, you know, how people, you know, utilize the gun all the time and all they see is killing, video games, the same thing. I mean, you know, it all has to do also with parenting. You know, if you let your kids watch that and you don't, you know, let them be a child and grow the way they're supposed to and kind of, you know, little by little show them the way the things are as a step-by-step. You know, another thing is the parenting in this country right now is out the window. You have a lot of fathers that's not home. Then you got a lot of people that's caught up in drugs. So it all has to do with a lot of economics and education. Very crucial. You got to spend money on education. Our country needs to focus on education. Why is India and China and all these other countries, they have their problems, of course. They're not perfect, but they're advancing in the times where we should be on top of our game. And here we are still dealing with gun issues, you know, where we haven't matured enough to have it where, you know, like all these tragedies happening. Innocent people, innocent victims. It's always somebody that's always innocent. Most of the time, for the bullet that was really meant for, it doesn't strike the person it's supposed to strike, which I'm not condoning any death or anybody, but usually the target is really not the one that gets the, you know, it's always, especially in the inner city, you know, here goes a kid, he gets into a fight with another person, he comes, pull out a gun, he shoots into the crowd and catches a young kid. And it was an innocent victim.
Yeah.
You know, a murder, they go in to kill somebody and they kill everybody in there. They go to rob, they kill the person. You know, you got to think about that. Economics, education. I'm not going to speak anymore.
Well, that's good stuff.
Okay, folks. I'm looking at the clock and we're just about out of time. And of course, this could possibly be the last program ever, you know, because we have the Mayan end date coming up on the 21st. So I want to go round the table and get everyone's parting thoughts, not just for the program, but possibly the end of the world as we know it. I guess I'll start with John.
All right, Simon. I'd like to say, Jay, thanks for your participation. I thought Manny and Peter talked a lot, but I think you're secretly an attorney. And secondly, if after listening to Jay, if he mentions education one more time, I think I'd welcome the end of the world.
John, you're always such good fun.
Love you, Simon. Take care, guys. Talk to you next week.
Hey, stay blessed, man.
Hey, John. John, I want a doggy bag from the El Paso Steakhouse.
There wasn't any food left. I was hungry.
That's what I heard. Sounds like a great place.
It's good.
Yeah. And Sam, your parting words of wisdom.
Well, if the Browns would have won today, then I said that the end of the world was coming Monday, Friday, because then everybody would say, all his Cleveland Browns friends would say, gee, just when we're getting good, how about those Dan Mayans ending the world? But the Browns lost, so I don't think the world's going to come to an end on that regard. I really enjoyed this discussion. Peter, wow. I love your passion. I love your passion. I can see why you probably destroyed people in court. And if I'm ever in need of a lawyer, I'll be getting Peter Haven and Manny Balling in California to defend me. That's the damn sure. Simon, great show, as always. I look forward to this every week. I'm very sorry about the killings, but I'm just numb from them. And I'm sure we've all done our own research and this and that, and it's just everywhere. And I fear if it's about protecting kids, I really would like some of my tax dollars to go to protect children in schools. And, and that's what I'd like to see. I think there is common ground. I am not a card-carrying member of the NRA. However, I do have the right to bear arms. I do. I want people should be able to have guns. Not a lot of them. And I think there's a lot of common ground. I do think legalizing drugs, as they have in Colorado and Washington State, will stop some of that violence because it's over money. And the caller was right about economics at one point. But, we have to clean up that underground economy and get that out so people aren't running around trying to kill each other to get a buck. And, that's it. And I just, it's sad. I hope that they find common ground. I don't think that they will. They can't even find common ground on the damn fiscal cliff. How are they ever going to find common ground on gun control? I wish everybody a wonderful Sunday.
Peter, I was sat outside this morning, carving together some points to talk about on the program, and I always like to figure out how the team's going to split. I'm pretty certain you and I are in agreement on the gun issue. Give us your parting thoughts.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Jay for contributing today, and Jay's friend Crazy. I appreciate that, too. And it's nice to get some fresh perspective, and I do apologize if I did speak too much. I know I did. And I'm sorry about that. But I think we're all far more in agreement than we actually are disagreement. Everybody wants to see this stop, this kind of stuff, this horrible tragedy that we've recently suffered. But it's just in a long line of a series of tragedies. And, when it happens to children, it affects your numbness because we have grown desensitized and numb to this. But all people deserve to feel protected wherever they go, whether they're adults or children or what have you. It's interesting that we're thinking about, quote-unquote, this apocalyptic event. The world's not going to end on December 21st. Everybody knows that. But the history of the planet is the history of the rise and fall of not just people and civilizations, but all forms of life. And the history of the planet Earth is the history of the rise and fall of almost every form of life that has ever existed on it. Human beings have the unique position in the entire 4.5 billion year history of the planet Earth. Human beings today have the unique ability to actually break the cycle of rise and fall, that most creatures and most forms of life on this planet have never had the ability to do. They're completely subservient to the world around them. We have the ability to change the world. And it's the very ability that we have to change the world that also contains within it the very ability to change it for good or for bad. And I spend a lot of time worrying about, you know, the various ways that we all basically destroy each other and our civilization and our society and our country. And I hope that these crises have ways of helping us prevent this kind of issue and these kinds of self-destructive behaviors, whether it's education or some form of gun control. But it's not just about guns. It's about everything in our culture. We pollute our environment. We contaminate food. We pursue the almighty dollar, and we don't care about all the people who get hurt along the way. There's a tremendous conflict in the human psyche between individual self-service and greed and caring for the betterment of everybody. And because we have so many and so much ability, you know, there's just an inherent conflict between these two. And I hope that, you know, by talking about these things, we start to make improvements, although I think it's going to take more tragedy before we all finally come together and agree on some things, I'm afraid. And I'm sorry to say that.
I want to thank all of you for taking part. And I noticed that our infamous caller, Jay, is still on the line. Jay? Do you have a couple of words before I wrap the show up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you. You know, you have for this platform. You know, for the people, just I hope that our human, so-called human beings throughout, you know, the United States and throughout the globe start maturing and utilizing our resources and seeing the bigger picture and learn that, you know, it's not just about ourselves and everything that we do affects other people, and, you know, stop being so self, you know, centered or, you know, just being selfish. You know, it's you know, we don't live here alone, as far as, you know, it's not just one person. You know, everything is a domino effect. We need to focus on the Mother Earth, start taking care our you know, our planet, respect it, and start focusing on the bigger things. We should be way beyond, you know, our being should be, we should be discovering, focusing more on, you know, exploring the planets and stuff like that, in the sense of, like, we should be past all these issues that's going on with the war and, you know, the human not learning how to respect each other and treat each other the right way. You know, we over here, you know, still learning how to deal with each other and you know, how to get along, when we should be all working together and exploring, you know, higher heights. And I just hope that things change.
That is a great line to end on.
Yeah.
Assuming the Myers got it wrong, that there's a high probability we'll be back next Sunday, and I promise next Sunday we're going to be focusing on how the Mayan civilization got it wrong. Till next week, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back next Sunday. Till then, goodbye.